Radio Prague News.
A woman with cancer is suing the Czech Republic over air pollution. The Supreme Audit Office has uncovered financial irregularities at the Labour Ministry, and Prague has got its first nightlife mayor. An elderly woman from the Radvanice district in Ostrava is suing the Czech Republic for having developed cancer, which also killed her husband several years ago. The woman aims to convince the court that her cancer is linked to the heavy air pollution that constantly plagues the region and is accusing the authorities of doing very little to fight the problem and protect people's health. Radvanice is one of the most polluted parts of Ostrava, where the amount of dust particles in the air frequently exceeds permitted norms. The Supreme Audit Office has found financial irregularities at the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs to the tune of 737 million crowns. The minister reportedly erred in the process of establishing new information systems for paying out state support. Two employees have been charged in connection with the findings. According to the ministry spokeswoman, Barbara Hanosek-Ekhartova, the failings took place under the former Labour minister, and the present administration is trying to put things right. Prague councillors have elected the city's first nightlife mayor. The post has gone to Jan Stern, whose task it will be to deal with complaints about noise pollution from bars, pubs and restaurants and promote a safe and vibrant nightlife scene that benefits businesses and residents alike. According to councillor Hanna Trishtikova, the nightlife mayor's task will be to gradually change the image of Prague from that of a city offering cheap alcohol and numerous nightclubs. In electing a nightlife mayor, Prague councillors were inspired by cities such as New York or Paris. An exhibition of paintings by the renowned Czech painter and graphic artist František Kupka at the Waldstein Riding School in Prague has been seen by over 90,000 visitors since it opened in September of last year. Due to overwhelming interest from the public, visiting hours were extended until 10 p.m. in the last few days of the exhibition. The exhibition closed on Sunday, and extending the date further was not possible since it is due to be exhibited in Helsinki, Finland next. The exhibition was organized by the National Gallery and was also shown in Paris. Hundreds of people braved the freezing cold in the early hours of Monday to watch a full lunar eclipse from one of the country's observatories. The viewing conditions were exceptionally good due to clear skies. The eclipse lasted for just over an hour and ended at 6:43 a.m. The next full lunar eclipse is expected in September of 2025. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday should be clear to partly cloudy with day temperatures between 0 and minus 4 degrees Celsius. Nighttime lows can drop to minus 16 in places, and there is a frost warning in place. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's program, a bill legalizing gay marriage is set to be debated this week. Innovation is seen as key to restoring Czech competitiveness. We have a roundup of the latest Czech sports news, and later we speak to Jiří Dužár of Visit Czech Republic about how his team market this country to tourists in the US. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic could become the first post-communist country to legalize same-sex marriage. An amendment to the country's civil code is set to have its first reading in parliament this week. While polls show that the majority of the country supports the move, there is also an opposing bill on the table. Tom McEncrow has the details.
The Czech Republic currently offers civil partnerships for same-sex couples. However, advocates of gay marriage say the current system still leaves them at a disadvantage. Apart from the symbolic difference of being called registered partners rather than spouses, gay marriage advocates also say there are practical deficiencies. These include the inability to claim widow pensions or to collectively adopt a child. Yet gay couples are now hoping things could change. An amendment to the Czech Civil Code, which allows same-sex marriage, is set to have its first reading in Parliament this week. Radek Konečný from the Jsme Fair movement, which advocates gay marriage, says the initiative has strong backing among the LGBT community.
I consider it an important measure that would help members of the community live better lives in this country. The Czech Republic has a unique opportunity to become the first post-communist country to legalize gay marriage and place itself among the modern part of the world.
Supporters of the bill can also rely on backing from the majority of the population, says sociologist Daniel Prokop from the Median Research Agency, who analyzed polling results from three separate agencies.
Since 2015, the majority of Czechs support gay marriage, and you cannot actually find any reliable survey which would show otherwise. And if you combine the three recent surveys since 2015, then you can see that more or less 60% of Czechs support gay marriage and 35% are against and the rest don't know.
Even so, the bill's chances of winning approval are far from certain. While support for it has come across the political spectrum, including MPs from the largest ANO party, as well as some opposition parties, opinions within the parties themselves seem split and MPs are unlikely to vote unilaterally. A counter-bill which seeks to coin the term marriage as an exclusive union between man and woman is also set to be discussed. The proposition was put forward by the Christian Democrats. Their MP, Marek Výborný, says that his party is also against the right of gay couples to adopt children. However, they are willing to discuss the extension of other marriage rights to registered partners.
We did not prepare the amendment as a reaction to the proposal of our colleagues. In context of the debate surrounding the definition of a marriage, which was led both in society and parliament, we came to the conclusion that marriage is such an important institution that, as in some other European states, it deserves to be protected by the constitution.
Mr. Výborný says the bill is unlikely to be passed in the coming week. However, even if it were to pass eventually, it will run into difficulties, with the president, who said last week that he is considering vetoing such legislation.
Tom McEncrow with that report. Now, the Czech economy is by some measures the most competitive in Central and Eastern Europe, but productivity has not kept pace with the rapid wage growth of recent years. And without greater state support for applied research and to encourage innovation, the Ministry of Industry warns long-term competitiveness, already now frozen, could plummet. Brian Kennedy has more.
Following the publication of the latest World Economic Forum survey on global competitiveness, Ministry of Industry and Trade Marta Novakova noted a worrying trend, despite the Czech Republic having ranked in the 20th percentile worldwide in terms of overall competitiveness, on a par with or higher than several Western European economies.
Česko je na 29. místě, což si myslím, že je relativně slušné, ale nikdy nemůžeme...
Czechia was ranked 29th in overall competitiveness, which I think is quite respectable. We're top among our Central European peers in the Visegrad 4, but we should not be completely satisfied. Although we have an excellent position in terms of macroeconomic stability, we need to improve our innovative capabilities.
Vynikající pozici máme v makroekonomické stabilitě a asi tam zlepšovat jsou inovační.
With the exception of macroeconomic stability, the Czech Republic lags behind the Western EU member states in all key performance indicators, such as labor market and government efficiency. That the Czech Republic is lagging behind in terms of innovation is evident, for example, in the low number of global patents originating here. An internal analysis by the Ministry of Industry and Trade, not yet made public but leaked this week, says efforts to remedy the situation have fallen short. Despite the government's efforts to date, it is clear that low innovation capabilities, burdensome government regulation, and a complex tax and subsidy system are undermining prospects for long-term GDP growth, it says. To address the issue, in 2009, the government established the Technology Agency of the Czech Republic, tasked with implementing state policy in the sphere of applied research, development, and innovation, and it provides grants to companies excelling in these areas. Professor Petr Konvalinka, a material engineer by training who took over the agency's reins in September, says the current government aims for the Czech Republic to become a leader in innovation by the year 2030, and it is putting its money where its mouth is, so to speak.
Samozřejmě musí k tomu také přispět rozpočet České republiky, kdy má vláda.
Of course, the national budget must also reflect the same. The government plans to add 0.1% of GDP annually to support basic and applied research, but it also wants greater efficiency in dispersing funds. In this regard, the technology agency has been tasked by the Government Research and Development Council with centralizing grant programs to support applied research.
Začali centralizovat dotační programy na podporu aplikovaného výzkumu.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, as chairman of that R&D council, will oversee implementation of a strategic plan to be unveiled in February that identifies 10 key areas requiring fundamental change. These include creating half a dozen development centers for making breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, laser technology, and nanotechnology.
Brian Kennedy with that report, and now I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby, who's got the summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with tennis, and the Czech Republic's women are going great guns at the Australian Open, with both Petra Kvitová and Karolina Plíšková through to the quarterfinals. Kvitová was the first of the pair through to week two after an emphatic 6-2, 6-1 victory over US teenager Amanda Anisimova on Sunday. The two-time Wimbledon winner, who is seeded eighth in Melbourne, was all smiles when she spoke at a news conference after that match.
Since this tournament beginning, I think I played what I really needed. I'm serving very well and I'm moving well as well. So that's, you know, sometimes when I'm nervous, I'm quite tired and nothing really working. But this time I feel good and I'm really enjoying it to be on the court. I'm very happy that I could be in the quarterfinals again after a while.
Seventh seed Karolina Plíšková reached the quarterfinals in the Australian Open after beating Garbina Muguruza of Spain 6-3, 6-1 on Monday. It's her third time in a row to get that far in the competition. The 26-year-old spoke to the tournament's TV station on the court afterwards.
I feel better with every match what I played here. First time on Margaret Court, so just happy that I got the win. It's my favorite court here, so I'm just happy that I could do it here. I think I played well. Obviously, important was the first set where we had very close games. The beginning was a little bit nervous from both. It's a little bit windy here, so the conditions are tricky sometimes with the shadows too, but just happy that I'm through.
Plíšková and Kvitová have both reached the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam tournament for the first time since the US Open in 2017. Also into the last eight in the Australian Open are the Czech doubles pairing of Kateřina Siniaková and Barbara Krejčíková. The pair, who are ranked number one in the world, beat Elise Mertens and Arina Sabalenka 2-6, 6-2, 6-3. Football, and the former Czech national team manager Michal Bílek is reportedly leaving Zlín 3 weeks before the start of the spring part of the season. Bílek, who has taken Zlín to an impressive sixth in the top flight table, has accepted a lucrative offer to manage Kazakhstan, media in that country reported. And finally, media outlets in Turkey are saying that Benjamin Tete is leaving Sparta Prague for Galatasaray. The Ghanaian striker, who's aged 21, had reportedly been in the sights of some English Premier League clubs. And that's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Incoming tourism is a major industry in the Czech Republic. One way the country attracts travellers is through state-run marketing campaigns, and one of the brains behind that strategy is Jiří Dužár, who is Ian Willoughby's guest in this edition of One on One.
Visit Czech Republic posts wonderful photos on social media aimed at lovers of the country and potential first-time travellers to this part of the world. In North America, Visit CZ run by state agency Czech Tourism, is represented by digital and social marketer Jiří Dužár. When we chatted in New York, topics included the images of the Czech Republic that do best on social media, the importance of travel bloggers, Dužár's own work as a photographer, and a lot more. I'm sure Czech tourism and the Czech tourism industry in general would prefer if more people traveled outside Prague. Is that something you're pushing with Visit Czech Republic?
Well, that's the main challenge. The main challenge for Czech tourism is to make people inspired about other parts of the Czech Republic beyond Prague. Especially here in the US and Canada, it's a big challenge because Prague is usually the first thing that comes to people's mind. And when we look at the statistics, we see that 85% of Americans and Canadians, they stay in Prague only. So most of our efforts and campaigns are, you know, spreading the good word about the Czech regions. And yeah, that's majority of content on those channels, like definitely more than 50% is other places but Prague.
And is there anything that you can do? I guess tour operators play a big role in this. Is there anything you can do or anything Czech tourism can do to encourage them to bring people outside Prague more?
So working with tour operators is another part of our job. We are a member of the U.S. Tour Operator Association. Every year we meet with the big shots, with the big names that bring thousands and thousands of people to Europe. But we found the hard way that these businesses are really hard to work with because they have developed itineraries 10, 15, 20 years ago that combined Prague with Vienna and Budapest. And even after 15, 20 years, those packages, they sell incredibly. So, you know, we keep meeting them and pushing them can you add one destination here, one destination there? And they're, yeah, sure, we'll think about it. Then they maybe add Český Krumlov or they add Kutná Hora, which is great. But they often do it only as a day trip, so the visitors don't stay there overnight. So I think our main focus is to inspire the solo travelers, the, as we call in our industry, FIT, free individual traveler or independent traveler, that want to see something else than just the capital.
I presume hotels must also be an issue, especially maybe for American travelers who may be used to a particular level of hotel that they wouldn't find in every Czech town.
That is true. Americans are very, I want to say spoiled, but they definitely have some sort of standard for accommodation. So our research shows more than 42% of Americans stay in five-star hotels while in the Czech Republic, which is, there's 500,000 Americans and almost 40%, more than 40% stay in five-star hotels. So that's one of the reasons, I think, that they choose Prague, because they also have the international brands they know from here. They have the Four Seasons of the world and, Hiltons and Mandarin Orientals and others. So they maybe feel more comfortable. Also, Americans are obsessed with collecting hotel points. That's why they choose international chains. But you'd be surprised. There's more Americans that will tell you, I would rather stay in a boutique hotel that is, locally owned. And
that could be locally owned, but not very boutique if they go to some small town.
That is true. That is true. But, in the Czech Republic, we have more than 80 five-star hotels. 50 of them are in Prague. The rest is, spread it, in West Bohemia, Karlovy Vary, which has the spa tradition and is used to welcome guests that need luxury. But these days people also look for unique accommodation, off the beaten path. They want to find a way how to escape the daily bustle and hustle of the cities they come from. So some of them they will venture out to the Czech countryside, find a cottage and stay there for a day or two.
And in terms of content of your social media output on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what kind of stuff tends to be a hit? What gets a big reaction?
That comes back to the popularity of Prague we discussed earlier. So if we post a picture of Prague, we know immediately it's going to be a hit. But sometimes, we show places other UNESCO sites. People are always, they cannot believe that we have 12 UNESCO sites for a country which is as big as, Massachusetts. So I think historical buildings, castles, everything that shows history and age is exciting for people. And then, surprisingly, winter photos work really well. Like when there is snow in Prague, Český Krumlov, or if we, you know, show a picture of some castle which is covered in snow, people are just, you know, wowed.
Is UNESCO really a factor for people? Because I had never much heard of UNESCO before I came to the Czech Republic. And people in the Czech Republic really talk about it a lot. To get on the list, the scene is being really important. Is it really that important?
I think that for many travelers, it is important because they see it as a staple of quality. Because Americans, when they travel, they want to make the most out of their free time because they don't have much of it. Americans are sometimes nicknamed as no vacation nation. So when they travel, they want to see the best things, the highlights, and then they want to come back and talk about their experience and basically brag about it in front of their family and friends. So I think that the UNESCO has some sort of a validation that, you know, this is a highlight and I will have a story to tell after I come back.
You also work with travel bloggers, which may be a kind of alien concept for some of Radio Prague's older followers or listeners. Why is it important for you to engage with bloggers?
You know, we started working with travel bloggers because they are a great source of content. So, you know, if we want to post on social media on a daily basis, we easily run out of photos that, you know, photographers who work for us did. And also on social media, people want to see more authentic content, not only sunrise shots of a beautiful landscape. So I think that one thing is that travel bloggers provide that kind of content, which is, it looks like user-generated content, but some of them also add their personality, so people like to follow them and you know, their stories. And the second reason besides content, the second main reason is that through them we are able to target completely different audiences than we do using, you know, traditional advertising. Even like paid digital advertising will not reach the same kind of audience. So I think that people who follow travel bloggers, they are, you know, likely to get inspired and visit a place that they see on someone's picture or in a video.
Also, I guess they must be relatively adventurous travelers and would go, for example, to, I don't know, Ostrava or somewhere like that.
Well, yeah, it's for sure. But I have to tell you that, you know, these days there's a lot of, there's maybe too many travel bloggers already. And a lot of them are, you know, travel divas that will only stay in five-star hotel. But some, you know, are not afraid to experiment and to explore some unknown parts, maybe like Ostrava, as you mentioned.
Your content isn't only aimed at people in North America, it's for the whole world, I guess, visit Czech Republic. Why do you need to be based here?
You know, when I started working on social media here, we were primarily targeting people from US and Canada only, but, you know, especially on Twitter and Instagram, over the course of the 3 years, we saw that, you know, our accounts picked up significant following from other countries as well, like from other English-speaking countries. Then those accounts became somehow global, but, you know, we are still advising to the team in the Czech Republic and the headquarters that is now, like, taking over the accounts and making them, like, real global accounts. But the reason why I'm sitting here is that I don't do only social media. I work with local journalists. I organize events, press conferences. I work with trade, with tour operators, travel agents. So it's not only a digital world that I live in. It's also a day-to-day office and event and, you know, other planning.
As well as working here and working a lot, you also do other stuff, including working as a photographer. I've seen your work. It's very good. Has living in New York impacted your photography work much?
Well, New York has many impacts on, you know, people who are lucky to be here and who can work here. So, like, every New Yorker has, like, two or three jobs on average. Everyone says, like, yeah, if you want to succeed, you need to hustle and do a lot of things. And photography has always been my passion. I started taking pictures back in 2009 when I went to Turkey for a year for my, you know, university exchange program. And then I was taking a lot of travel pictures, travel content. Maybe that also explains the reason why I get along with travel bloggers so much, because I can relate to their work. And but it was, you know, just in New York when I kind of realized that I can also sell my work, or that people can take advantage of my creations.
I see from your Instagram profile that you've traveled to 38 countries and 27 states here in the US. Apart from New York, which of those states has made the biggest impact on you?
So I'm based on the East Coast, but I really, really love the West Coast of the US. Like California and Oregon are probably the nicest two states I've been to. And I was lucky to go to mainly the cities like LA and San Francisco for business, to meet with, you know, either local trade or press or media. But I also, took a few weeks of vacation during my stay, and I did a lot of camping and hiking and photographing. So I would say the West Coast is really appealing in terms of the landscape, the weather and everything. But I also like the other states that are not so often visited. For example, this year in May, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. Our embassy in Washington, together with local cultural organization, organized a festival called Memphis in May. And during that month, we presented a lot of things the Czech Republic has to offer. Like Czech chefs went to cook barbecue to Memphis with other local chefs. It was a musical exchange. And when I was there on my business trip, I got to, see all that. I saw the place where, Johnny Cash composed some of his first songs. So it's very inspiring to travel to places like, Memphis, like in the deep south of the US, and also see how people perceive Czech Republic, and learning that they know about us and they know what Czech Republic is.
Jiří Dužár, who spoke to Ian Willoughby in New York. You'll find many more interviews by Ian in the Big Apple on our website and in our show in the coming weeks. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.